I think that took about a day or two off my life. Maybe 6 months. I thought we might sing Amazing Grace, you know, we're all still breathing. Bob didn't have a heart attack, I didn't have a stroke. But, you know, if it took a little time off our life, the quicker we get to heaven, the better. So, perfect song, Joe. Perfect song. We do have provisions in place, folks. There's these books in front of you in a pew, if need be. Those are called song books, and we used to sing out of those. Generosity. We talked about this last week and about how good God is to us, how we are blessed here in America with such so many things. And last week we looked at that in a number of ways and listed a variety of things that maybe you're not aware of, but our wealth in compared to the world is much different than our wealth compared to other Americans. And so I'll just remind, if you weren't here last week, I'll just share one of them with you and remind you if you were. But if you have sufficient food, if you have decent clothing, if you have a house or an apartment to live in, if you have reasonably reliable means of transportation, you are among the top 15% of the world's wealthy. And so, basically, we're a lot better off than we realize. And I think we realize we have much. God's given us much, but we have much more than we realize. So, a scripture we looked at last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says, God is able. Amen. And those three words talk about God's generosity to us. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency, here's what we have, all sufficiency in all things at all times, that's what God has given us. And today what I wanted to do is remind you and maybe inform you as the church, there are many things that your generosity goes toward that you're not aware of. And I want to run through some of those today and just share with you kingdom business, kingdom things, ways that your generosity is blessing those here and around the world. One of those, I want to start and talk about, we have a food pantry you may not even be aware of. I want to share just a brief story. Charles Page, before he developed things in Sand Springs and did so much of what he did in Sand Springs, right around statehood, 1907, there was a depression, and Charles Page was living in Tulsa. He had some wealth at that time, but there was no work. There was no food. And so it was a struggle of those who lived here, but there would be men who would come in on trains. And they would, the car would be full, they'd be hanging on the outside, it would be freezing temperatures, there would be ice on their beards, and they would get off that train looking for food and work for their family. Their family is elsewhere. And there would be no food, and essentially, they'd be sent on their way. That's really the result. But Charles Page knew they were hungry, and he provided a way through vouchers, and he funded it, that each of those men could have a meal that day, a cot that night, and a meal the next morning. And then they would leave because there's no work here. But he said, his statement was regarding that, he says, I've been hungry. He says, it's a horrible feeling. And he made a statement that, you know, people naturally have mercy on women and children. He said, but men get just as hungry. And he could not stand to send those men on down the way with empty stomachs. So one of the things we do, it's small. We will have, in a month's time, we may have a dozen different families that are blessed by our food pantry. And Jen Spencer takes funds that you give, and she supplies that pantry. She'll go about three times a month and restock it. And I know personally some who've utilized it, and most are from the community, but some are from our church family. And I know the blessing it is. When you come to a church food pantry, you're hungry and you need food. And it's a big deal to receive that. And so I want you to know about that. I want you to know that we have a benevolence ministry. Brian Benton is our deacon of benevolence. There are a number of things that those funds go toward. One, not too long ago, one of our widows had property in Tulsa, and things needed to be done to that, and the funds weren't readily available, and so the church family jumped to our sister's needs and helped in a number of ways through labor, taking that. There was an old garage that needed to be taken down. Trees needed to be trimmed and cleaned up. I know Prater worked a lot on that, Brian Benton, the Benton family. There were others that worked on that, but a dumpster was needed. There were a number of things needed, and I just give that as an example that you can imagine as a family when you need help, and no one wants to ask for help, but when your church family comes to your rescue, what a blessing that is. It's a big deal. But the benevolence funds, those things have gone to help different ones in different ways, different expenses, different needs, and they're a blessing. I know on occasion, not too long ago, one of our families was in need, and that need was made known, and generosity came forth from you. And in talking to the husband in that family, he told me later, and there was a few hundred dollars that were gathered. He said, you know, down to the dollar, there was an amount we needed in our crisis, and that's the exact amount we received. And when I am aware of occasions like that, stories like that, it reminds me that, you know, we're partnering with God in what we do. Our generosity is from God, and God is at work in that. His hand is in all those things. Something we do on an ongoing basis is Monday Night for the Master. This is one of the ongoing expenses we have. It's not necessarily a large expense, but the food for this event, and I'll back up, I accidentally have this on a timer. But Monday Night for the Master, when we come and gather and have prayer together and we write cards together and make visits together, serve together, our youth serve, a number of things that we do, and it's for God's kingdom. It's a time that we're not coming to study, we're not coming to worship, we're coming to do, we're coming to serve. And you're a part of that, even if you're not able to come because of your generosity to it. Your generosity that helps provide for that that program and that ministry. I want to talk about our youth a little bit, and our youth are in Oklahoma City today and this weekend at a leadership conference. But there are a number of things that your generosity helps with our young people. And I love the fact that we as a church, we believe in our young people and we invest in them. But these are just a few pictures from church camp and things that take place at church camp. Retreats are an important part of what our youth do. When you think of our youth and their activities, this is from church camp, and sometimes you may just imagine our youth doing things like this, and that's all right. This is Jackson Hendricks. I don't know what they're doing, but I know as funny as this picture is, this one's even funnier to me. I have no idea what that's about. Those look like tater tots. But when our youth go to church camp, for example, lives are changed at church camp. And some of them are very visible and obvious, and some are just quietly changed, but they're changed nonetheless. But these are just pictures to remind you, when you are generous toward things like this, and our church has a history of, if a child wants to go to church camp and they don't have the means to, we'll cover that. We'll make sure they can go. There's not a child here that wants to go to camp that does not, because the finances aren't there. Because that money comes in from you. And when our kids are going to camp, just remember, these are the things that are happening. Change lives. And this is one of my favorite pictures. To me, it's when you're being baptized, it's similar to Judgment Day. It's you and God and a Savior. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's what I'm talking about today. As out from your hearts come generosity, these are the things that are a result and the blessings that take place. And I want to mention, with our youth, KFC stands for Kids for Christ, and KFC's second through sixth grade. A lot of what KFC is about is helping our young people to grow closer to God and also helping them to be a group. You may not believe this, but teenagers don't primarily listen to their parents. That may shock you. Teens do not disagree. You know it's true. They don't primarily listen to their parents. In adolescence, you primarily listen to your friends. Secondarily, you listen to your parents. And the point that I'm making is our grade school age children need to grow up, and when they are traveling the gauntlet of adolescence and what Satan is bringing against them, they need each other. They need Christian friends in the youth group. Does that make sense? That's a big deal. And if you experience that growing up in church as a teen, you know what that's about. And so KFC is important because of that reason and other reasons. Matthew 19:14 is a reminder for us. Remember what Jesus said about children that were being brought to him. His disciples said he didn't have time for children. He said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And I love that we as a church believe in our young people, and we believe in investing in them. We do that in a number of different ways. We have an event that's coming up quickly, Trunk or Treat. We at this event, we will have upwards of 600 people from our community come through. It's really hard to believe. It always kind of blows my mind when I look at the numbers who come through our Trunk or Treat. You don't see them all at one time, but they just keep coming in droves. And it's a unique opportunity for us as a church to provide something for our community, to be able to have contact with them. They know at that event who we are. We're a church family. And it's just a great opportunity for us to make contact. And so that is coming up. By the way, there's sign-up sheets in the foyer. We need help in a lot of ways. But one way that you help with things like Trunk or Treat is your generosity. We provide corn dogs. We provide a bounce house. We provide candy. There are a number of things that financially come into play with Trunk or Treat. And it's another way of us as a church family trying to reach out. These two scriptures, 2 Corinthians 9:8. This is one we started with, but I want to keep reading to the end of it. And these describe who we are to be, right, as Christians. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. That verse 9, that quote, that's from Psalm 112, verse 9. That's a quote from Psalms, and it sounds like it's talking about God. But that psalm is talking about a righteous man. It's very similar to this one in Psalm 37. The righteous is generous and gives. That is who we are. It is what we do. And we get it from God. I want to point out that there is quite a bit of private generosity that takes place in this church family and from this church family going out. In other words, it is things that you just do. You see a need, you see someone in need, a way that someone could be blessed, and you just do it. I'm aware of some of that. I just happen to be because of the position I'm in. But a lot of it I'm not. Things just happen. And I love the fact that as Christians, you don't toot your own horn about it. You don't, make that known, which is perfect. Because remember Matthew 6:3, Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing regarding generosity. Do it for God's sake. But these are things like, meals are taken, lawns are mowed, bills are paid, clothes are bought, money is given, and it's all to God's glory. Proverbs, flipping your Bibles to Proverbs 11:25. Proverbs 11:25. This is a reminder of the joy in giving. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Jesus, of course, said it is more blessed to give than to receive. A couple examples of this. When we went to Canada, past few years, there are a number of you that have gone to Canada. This is pictures of some. We went with the intention to help them, help the church there. We went with the intention to give. And we were excited to go. And while we were there, we were excited to work and serve and encourage them. And coming home, we were filled up. I don't know, but what we gained more than we gave is what I'm saying. That's the nature of giving, isn't it? When you're generous, the blessing is to you as well. And you could argue that the giver is more blessed than the recipient. That's what Jesus was saying. But these are pictures of people who are giving, but they are receiving more than they could possibly give. And then, our family, Stephanie and I and our kids, continue to receive. We had a family blessing us last night, and I'll just give you a snippet of a text exchange. Our message to them was, "You didn't need to do that." And their reply was, "Thank you for letting us." And it's a reminder that when you bless someone, it is true that that is a blessing. And when you receive, there's something about receiving from someone. It's humbling. I don't know that there's really a correct word to describe it truly. It's not that it's embarrassing. It's not that it's awkward so much. It's humbling. And a reminder, if you're in the position of receiving, let people bless you, because there's joy in giving. I want to point out that we have something called the silver box. You may have heard us mention the silver box, and you may not know what in the world is a silver box. And it's really nothing more than a shoebox. I don't even know when it started or who started it, but on an occasion, somebody wrapped a shoebox with tinfoil and cut a hole in the top. And it's just a simple, right, cheap means of having a container that people can put funds in that go towards something. And our history is they go towards missionaries. Anytime we have a missionary come, incidentally, we have Solomon Agu coming in 2 weeks. Anytime we have one come to update us on their work, we put that silver box there. You as a church family put in additional funds, and that's given to that missionary. They take it with them. We've done that a number of times this past year. And every time the silver box is set out, you answer the call. Every time. And I remember early on when I was here as a youth minister and as a preacher, it would shock me. It would really amaze me every time, whatever need we had, you would come to the call. You would step up to the plate. I've long since been surprised by it. I'm no longer surprised. I praise God for it. When a need is presented, your generosity overflows. An example is Liberia. Our missionaries in Liberia, in Africa, are working on a building, building a church building for themselves. They're making their own bricks. And in a minute, I'll show you pictures of that. But they were in need of funding for that. And we set out the silver box, and $10,000 is what you provided, your generosity for that work in Liberia. But our missionaries, Jean Grenier has come in the past year, Jean and Daniel Ferreau, the work in Ukraine, a missionary, Dima, came, a minister from the New Mexico Children's Home came, the Hurricane Relief Fund for the hurricanes in Florida and in Houston. And there's an organization, Churches of Christ Disaster Relief, that's a semi-truck, and that organization, they are ready to go. Incidentally, when we had the tornado here, they called us. They were ready to come here if needed. But that organization is ready to go at any time. And we set out the silver box for that. And your generosity overflowed. And there's blessing in that. These are the good things that are happening. The church in Canada, this is a picture, and it's exciting because the group there, that of course is the church building in the background, but next Sunday is their official opening of their building that's been renovated and constructed in a way to serve their needs, and this is the new sign that they put up, and so that's happening next Sunday, and that's one of the things that we support. Jean Grenier continues to work hard there. We see that work and we pray for it. And so that's something that comes out of weekly budgets, the funds that are gathered. Other things that come out of that, our missionaries. We have, of course, I mentioned missionaries in Belgium. The ones in Solomon the Good in Nigeria, if you don't know about that, Solomon has established a school a number of years ago, School of Biblical Studies in Nigeria. They train preachers from Africa, from all over Africa, and then they send those preachers back to their native locations, to their villages. And they go back and they preach the gospel. And so we're excited about Solomon coming in a couple weeks. I want to close this morning and tell you a few things about Liberia. This is a school that they conduct there in Liberia and affect a number of children and their lives. These are pictures of their building project. These are the bricks that they made, the footings, the wall. And here's a shot of their building as it is currently. They are able to use that. And I have a video that I would like to show here in just a minute. Tori will pull that up for us. This is one of our missionaries there, Jonathan Cooper, and he's going to just say a little bit about the work there and give us an update. So I want you to be able to see this.
Well, this is Jonathan S. Cooper, the director for Elaboro Evangelical Team, LED. LED is an evangelistic group organized by the Liberian students at the University of Jos, SBS, in particular. We went for studies and we are being sponsored by the Church of Christ Sand Springs. LED has returned and started working. Sand Springs has supported us in evangelism, radio ministry, and as well as benevolence. This group has been evangelistic. We have established a congregation here at Barclays Farm and working with several other congregations. Sand Springs do support us, and these supports, actually these money, help us to be able to move out to the lost and to assist other congregations and to spread the gospel on earth. With the building you see behind me, Sand Springs has supported us over $10,000 now into this project. And this money actually has done a very great job for us, because with the church being constructed here and erected, we believe that physical structure are also methods of evangelism. And at the end of the day, people, you know, will have a shelter in order for us to be able to worship on them. So your money actually is carrying all a long way, and the gospel actually is being preached, and many people are flowing into the Lord's church here at Barclays Farm, Liberia, West Africa. So we want to say thank you, Sam Strength. We want to say thank you for all the support. May God continue to richly bless all of you to helping and making sure that the Lord's work is spread throughout Liberia. LED is a young team and is growing evangelistically. So thank you so very much for the support, and we do appreciate. Your money is not being wasted, it's actually being put into use, and that God is being glorified. Thank you so very much.
I love the sound of the children in the background. You hear that? Isn't that something? You may not have known it, but your generosity reaches not only God's work here, but halfway around the globe to children in Liberia who are growing up learning about Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? And so I want just to remind you, and a couple things that Jonathan said in that, his accent is a little difficult for us, but he said the gospel is being preached, men and women are flowing into the church here, money is being put to use, and God is being glorified. I love it. I mean, there's nothing better than being in a position to be generous with what God has given us. and to put it toward kingdom causes. Generosity is who we are. Generosity is what we are about. And God teaches us that. And so, church, keep it up. I want you to know the good that you're doing. We're going to have a song of encouragement and a reminder for all of us that God's in control. And I want God to have His way with me. If you're here this morning and you have a need, we want to make this time available to help you. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to have someone born into Christ have their sins washed away this morning. If there's a way we can help you, please come while we stand and sing.
What if you live for Jesus and be always doing good? What if you walk with Him within the narrow road? What if you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His love may cleanse your heart and make you free. His love. Was best for him to have.